Thomas Paine, Paine in the Morning, 7/27, July 27th. Almost made it out of the month. The longest series of months in your life. Almost made it out of July. And August. Right around the corner, and then who knows what. I tell you, I was going to go with a different song to kick this off. We're going to have a big week coming. You got could be causing a lot of trouble this week. Take it from me. It's already in the tank. We're working on it. The last week we were a traveling band, moving around the country and reporting on what's going on. And that was a lot of fun. I love being on the street. I ever have since I was a kid. Let me tell you what they used to do when I started a newspaper business. It was the craziest thing. So I have to laugh at some of these so-called journalists today on Twitter and other places. They just set up shop. They used to say, okay, kid, you want to be in newspaper business? When I worked for weekly newspapers for a long time. They say, we have a little thing called man on the street. You got to go out and ask people. You got to ask like seven people the same question. And you have to get their names. You have to get a quote from them. And you have to take their picture. Now, you might think that sounds easy, but it's one of the hardest things I ever had to do. You have to agree to, you have to approach people on the street, number one, okay, in New Jersey, without getting hit over the head with a bat or shanked with a prison shiv, okay? Then you had to ask them a question about politics, get their opinion, then have them agree to have their picture in the newspaper. This thing could take hours. Sometimes days, okay? And that's how you learn as a street reporter. And after you can get through that, it's the strangest thing. You can talk to anything, talk to anybody for anything, and that kind of moxie will take you anywhere you want to go because you've already done it, like ground level. So if you're then covering a disaster, an explosion, a plane crash, and so forth, you don't have to worry about anything because it's a lot easier to do that than it is to drum up seven people on the street without getting your ass whooped. So we'll be causing some trouble this week. Just keep an eye on what we have going on the podcast and on the website as well. And I was going to go with a little Runaway but from Bonnie Raitt, but I'll tell you, I heard that song right before we started taping, and I said, let's go with some CCR, but you got to love a little Bonnie Raitt, the old Del Shannon. Del Shannon's Runaway hit from the early 60s. And hey, what is this, some kind of radio show? I tuned into this guy for politics and some humor. This is like a bad fucking disc jockey-ass guy. That's it, we're out of here. Mildred. shout out to everybody out on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit watching the video podcast, and we appreciate it. As I say many times, we're not supported by millionaires and billionaires. Some of you younger bucks out there, take a hit from So tip from Uncle Mike, and get yourself some Bonnie Raitt music if you're trying to put the moves on the ladies. Little unknown trick. I'm happy to share it with you. Now, who's Bonnie Raitt? How do you spell that? Is that with a W? It's Raitt. R-A-I-T-T. I could make a good joke there, but I won't. Anyway, okay, so we appreciate the support on those platforms. It goes a long way. And let's move right into the news here. We have a busy week, and we're kicking it off the right way. A little bit of music here. And try to keep it a little light tonight, this morning, whenever the hell you're listening to this. I had a busy weekend. I was working all weekend. And that's why I say I know we're going to be causing some trouble this week. If I wasn't working outside, I was working on news stories and on the podcast. And what I usually do in July and August is I start chopping wood. I'm like the fucking brawny paper towel guy. It's 100 degrees out. I'm out there splitting logs and chopping wood. I'm getting ready for the winter. So that keeps you, get the cardio up when it's 100 degrees. You're out there with an axe. Now, you don't work during the heavy parts of the day, the heated parts of the day, but got to get prepped for the fall when the entire economy collapses and all we have is firewood to barter. It's not that far from the truth, okay? Oh, man. Okay, first story. And I'm looking forward to this week, so stick with us, and we're going to have some fun. Picking on some people, for sure. First story, a gunshot to the head, Parkinson's disease, deaths in Palm Beach incorrectly attributed to COVID-19. Is this any surprise? This is like a recurring theme. And it probably will be a recurring theme this week as well. A bullet to the head. Go a little Rage Against the Machine bullet in the head.
Now he's playing that rowdy music again, this guy.
CBS 12 said a 60-year-old man who died from a gunshot blast to the head was labeled as a virus death. You can't even. It's insane. A 90-year-old man who fell and died from a hip fracture was another. Even a 77-year-old woman who died of Parkinson's disease was somehow labeled as a virus-related death. This is like Oprah. You get a COVID death. You get a COVID death. You get a COVID death. It's all rigged. You understand this? It's completely rigged. It's so corrupt. They're all getting greased to label people dying of coronavirus. We're just victims of the in-house drive-by. Victims of the in-house drive-by? Fauci says jump. Trump says how high? CBS 12's I-team investigated these statistical anomalies by combing through the medical examiner spreadsheet of all people who recently died of the virus in Palm Beach County. And what they found are 8 cases in which a person was counted as a COVID death but did not have a COVID listed as a cause of contributing cause of death. For more color on how COVID-19 deaths are determined, it must be an immediate and underlying cause of death. So a gunshot to the head, a falling incident or accident, and a Parkinson's disease death certainly doesn't fit the defined criteria of classifying these deaths as virus-related. Residents in South Florida are furious about the overinflated death toll. That sums it up right there. I gotta read the news with one ear and wait for the music cues with the other ear. I gotta be on top of my game. It's completely misleading, said Rachel Eid, a Palm Beach County resident who has been researching the same issue. We need to remove those cases that are not COVID exclusive. And we need to be giving people that information, said Eid, who's one of the plaintiffs suing Palm Beach County for its mask mandate. Eid told the I-Team she's been digging around in medical reports and said out of 581 deaths, only 169 are listed as COVID-19 without any contributing factors. That means the rest of them are probably fucking rigged. So let's go over this real quick. A gunshot to the head. Parkinson's disease. And a 90-year-old man who fell and died from a hip fracture. And there are probably dozens more. Just curious, if you get a gunshot to the head, how could that be COVID-related? When it comes to overinflated coronavirus death counts, we recently outlined how a fatal motorcycle accident in Florida was added to the state's COVID-19 death toll as well. Still, no precise data shows just how overinflated death counts are on a state-by-state level, but this point is getting ridiculous, guys. We have to rely on real journalism, such as this report we just talked about from CBS 12 in West Palm. And they keep making shocking discoveries time after time again as we dig, whether it's us or credit to some of these newspaper and TV journalists who are digging into this. Because they know if the state shuts down, they're going to be out of jobs. Jesus Christ. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis recently said that his staff has been informed about virus deaths being incorrectly reported. DeSantis said, I think the public, when they see these fatality figures, they want to know who died because they caught COVID. I can't listen to it, Mildred. It's too radical. It's too radical. He's got punk rock, man. Hey, man, I grew up on punk rock, so don't knock it. We may all be slam dancing in the street before it's over with farm implements. A second headline, health company apologizes for falsely telling 600,000 U.S. military members that they were infected with coronavirus. Oh, man. They have to apologize to 600,000. Hey, it's another Oprah situation. You have coronavirus. You have coronavirus. You have coronavirus. Everybody has coronavirus. No, they don't. The healthcare insurance company for members of the U.S. military had to apologize for accidentally telling over 600,000 people that they were infected with the virus when they were actually not. What am I gonna do to make you love me? Man. TRICARE apologized for alarming several hundred thousand people because of a poorly worded email that implied the recipient was a coronavirus survivor. The email went out to Humana Military, a regional manager for TRICARE. A survivor of COVID-19? As a survivor, it's safe to donate whole blood or blood plasma, and your donation could help other COVID-19 patients. Your plasma likely has antibodies or proteins present that might help fight the coronavirus infection. The email to 600,000 military members read, Jesus, causing a panic at this point. This is another egregious nightmare. It's 6 hours later, Humanis sent out a correction and an apology over the confusing and erroneous emails. In an attempt to educate beneficiaries who live close to convalescent plasma donation centers about blah, 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 blah. You fucked up. Stop trying to spin it. Just say, hey, we fucked up. We're sorry. You fucked up. You trusted us. It's really not funny, I guess. It's just twisted. It's so twisted, I have to laugh at it. Where are we at now? New headline. We're rolling. We are rolling. Walmart. No idea what that noise is. Walmart and retailers to serve customers refusing to wear masks. Ho, 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 ho. Ho, ho. Big victory. Big victory, folks. Now you can actually breathe when you shop. It's incredible. You don't have to get choked out by your own carbon. These guys, they want you back. Let's go with the little player. Anybody remember player back in the day? Not playa, player. Maybe they were losing businesses, business to business, and they're losing consumers. That's what is really happening here. They're not saying like, oh, we reconsidered. You don't have to wear masks. Yeah, because you're taking a fucking beating and no one's shopping at your places. You have to wear a diaper on your face. There's a pretty good reason to keep you out of a retail shop. This is what they're saying. Baby, come back. We're losing money. You don't have to wear a diaper on your face. Yeah. Some of the biggest U.S. retailers have instituted mandatory mask policies over the past 2 weeks to combat the spread of COVID-19. However, a week later, many companies are walking back their mask mandates following several highly publicized incidents centered around wearing face coverings, also known as diapers. I added that part. I apologize. A Walmart, CVS, Walgreens, Home Depot, Lowe's, and other nationwide retailers said they would serve customers even if they violate mask mandates. Like I said, it's because you're losing money. Baby, come back. Bring your credit cards and cash. We are bleeding, and we really need you. The companies want to avoid negative publicity and potential violence stemming from customers refusing to wear face masks in stores. Shit can go bad at CVS and Walgreens on a good day. This comes after multiple events where customers became irate, including one instance where a man brandished a gun at a Walmart employee because of the mask mandate. Now where I'm from, that's just called any Tuesday or Wednesday at Walmart. Let me get a drink. So all these Karens out there saying, I'm filming you and you're going to be on the internet. You're an insensitive jerk. You're going to infect everybody. There's fucking no proof that masks work, idiots. Get your heads out of your asses. Do some research, you fucking droids. Little player, huh? I'll tell you who's not playing around. It's a victory for people like myself who have been saying, don't wear the mask. Don't wear it. The only people who should be wearing masks are the people who are telling everybody else they should be wearing masks. And they're not even wearing masks. Guys like Fauci, let's move right into the next story. Dr. Fauci violated the D.C. mask mandate during the Nationals Major League Baseball game. See the pictures of him in the video of him? He's up there in the stands with his friends, his wife, who also works for the National Institute of Health. She's a subordinate. Okay, can't make this stuff up, right? He's got the mask down, talking on the phone, taking selfies. They have the masks on. He's not wearing the mask, laughing it up, glad-handing. This fucking guy. He's going to have a rough week. Hint, hint. What's this for Fauci? All right, we'll go with this. Dr. Fauci threw out the ceremonial pitch at the season opener Thursday night between the Washington Nationals and the New York Yankees. It was... What the hell is this? What do you get when you guzzle down sweets? Eating as much as the Oompa Loompa song. What are you I thought this was something else. Oh, boy. They're throwing me curveballs here. Oompa, Fauci's in the game. He's not wearing a mask. It's a national shame. It was a wild curve, which Fauci failed to flatten, but the pumped-in crowd noise cheered anyway. They pumped in canned cheers for Fauci. Nobody was at the game, so there was nobody to cheer. That's it? 57-second song? What else we got for this guy? Second song, right here it says.
We represent the lollipop cheer, the lollipop
cheer,
the
lollipop cheer. What? We're a little short on the music tonight, if you know what I mean. Well, you can bust some balls on a Monday. There's nothing wrong with it. While fans were not allowed to attend the game, Dr. Fauci was permitted to stay and watch the game from the stands. Oh, he's a celebrity. He's a celebrity like Bruce. Yeah. Anybody who attacks Trump's a celebrity. Not many. Not many. How many people were at the game? Not many. Not many. You guys in trouble out there. Unfortunately for Fauci, a photographer present at the stadium captured him being hypocritical on his own social distancing recommendations as he sat between two people while not wearing a mask. The failure of Dr. Fauci to wear his mask in public comes on the heels of D.C. Mayor Bowser issuing a universal mask mandate that exempts federal employees, including Dr. Fauci, but there's a catch. According to the mask mandate, the enforcement provisions of this order shall not be applied to persons in the judicial or legislative branches of the district government while those persons are on duty and shall not apply to any employees of the federal government while they are on duty. Fauci was most definitely not on duty during the Nationals game and therefore is clearly violating the mandate. With photographic evidence that Dr. Fauci was violating the mandate, he is now subject to a fine of $1,000. This guy should be subject to a fucking federal prison cell. Wait till you see what we dug up on this guy this week. Just wait. $1,000 is going to be at least to his worries. We have any other music for this? Go with a little Red Hot Chili Pepper scar tissue since we're talking about Dr. Fauci. All the people he's fucking ruined through the years. Those scar tissues about right. Dr. Fauci responded to criticism of him not wearing a mask while on Fox News Friday morning. What is this guy doing on Fox?
Just want to bring up one thing quickly because it's become a meme on the internet.
John Roberts said, there's a photo of you in the stands with two people. You're not wearing a mask and not social distancing, but we should point out that one of those people is your wife. What's the other person?
The other person is a very close friend of mine, Fauci responded.
John,
I think this sort of mischievous stuff with this thing going around. I had my mask around my chin. I had taken it down. I was totally dehydrated, and I was drinking water trying to rehydrate myself. And by the way, I was negative COVID literally the day before. He doesn't have any... look at the photo right now. He's got a phone. Two hands on his phone. There's no drink anywhere. He has no drink. I spent enough times at a stadium to know where you store your drinks. He has no drink. Unless he has one down between his legs. You know, like on the cement. But he's not wearing one of those helmets with the beer cans on the side. That's the only thing missing from this coke. He has a cell phone in his hands and no drink. She's just a fucking liar. She's just such a bad, bad guy all the way around. So I guess if people want to make a thing of that, I wear a mask all day, all the time when I'm outside. No, you don't. No, you don't, buddy, because we've seen you dozens of times without a mask. You're just a fucking liar, you fucking midget. This is what happens, I swear to God. This is what happens when you don't get your bell rung growing up. I've said this to my kids at the dinner table for years. I talk about this guy, and this guy's doing this, and this kid's doing that. I said, didn't their dad ever give him a crack? Or didn't they ever get an altercation with somebody? They get called on the carpet? They get their nose bloody, broken, lost a tooth, had to have their jaw wired shut. I'm serious, as kids. Guys like this, they run wild. They're never put in their place. Trump's had a chance to put him in his place, hasn't done it. His connection with Fauci could cost him the election. It's a fact. He hasn't distanced himself from this guy, and more stuff's going to come out on him this week, Fauci. And if I were the White House, and I know some people listen with connections to the White House, I would load up the van down by the river or the coronavirus task force and tell them to ship their ass out of town. Get the hell away from these people. They're nothing but an anchor around the president's neck and around his chances of getting reelected. But I've been saying this for 5 months and no one wants to fucking listen to me, so who the hell am I? To pull down the mask, to take some sips of water and put it back up again, I guess if people want to make something about that, they can. But to me, I think it's just mischievous. There's no water, dude. You're lying. While it's okay for Fauci to be sitting with his wife, his acknowledgement that the other man in the photo was only a friend with whom he should have not only been practicing social distancing but also wearing a mask. Fauci also said he was drinking water, but in the photo he's not drinking water. There's no drink in his hand, and he's using his phone, like I said. How did they get to the game? Three of them together, right? In a limo, probably. Nationals probably sent a limo, so they're hanging out in the limo as well. Police tell business owners in Seattle. You ready for this one? Let me take a quick drink here. Play a little music while I take a quick drink. Remember Seattle was the summer of love? The stupid mayor there, the dingbat who was appointed by Obama to U.S. attorney of Seattle before she became mayor? Dunham, whatever her stupid name is. A real cement head. She said all the demonstrations and the city encampment of vagabonds, vagrants, gutter snipes, dirtbags, dickweeds, and gypsies. She said, it was a summer of love. It's like a festival. It's a festival environment. Let me take a quick drink here. Well, let's do a little Nazareth. Summer of love. Sometimes love can hurt, folks. Police in Seattle declared a riot
in that city after peaceful protesters on Saturday were provoked by cops, provoked in quotes by cops, into setting fires and throwing explosive rocks and bottles at injured 21 officers and sent one policeman to the hospital after he was hit in the knee by an explosive device. What's going on in Seattle with these cops? I mean, they're not getting backed. I understand that. Still, though. This is insane. The construction site on Capitol Hill was torched and another police precinct was broken into with explosive damage done to the walls. Another Starbucks was lit up and numerous storefronts were vandalized. At least 45 people were arrested. Are there any businesses even left in downtown Seattle? If there are, they might want to head for the hills. The letter, I guess from police, is a wonder to behold. A first for civil society in a modern industrialized country. Law enforcement telling the people they are sworn to protect that government won't let them do their jobs and that any damage done to the business owner's property isn't the fault of the police. Please also know that the city council ordinance crowd control tool goes into effect. Is that the mayor's nickname on Tinder? Crowd control tool goes into effect this weekend on Sunday. The ordinance bans Seattle police officers to use less lethal tools, including pepper spray that's commonly used to disperse crowds that have turned violent. Simply put, the legislation gives officers no ability to safely intercede to preserve property in the midst of a large violent crowd, so they can't use pepper spray and other less lethal tools. Police. Little tip for the police. Throw some bars of soap out on the street. Watch these cockroaches run for their lives. Throw some Irish Spring out there. Get that stuff at the dollar store, like 300 pounds for 19 cents. I don't know what they put in that stuff, but the younger kids out there, no, younger guys out there on the move, don't wear that. don't use the Irish Spring and the Axe body spray before you go out and try to, you know, attract the ladies. It doesn't work very well. A lot of hockey players that I coach use Axe body spray and see the bottle of Irish Spring going around the shower. I'm like, what? This place smells like a nightmare. Also, the letter said, it is important to bring to your attention that yesterday I sent a city council, all members, a letter ensuring them that as a chief of police. Oh, this is from the chief of police. This story is so written piss poor badly. Where is it? It doesn't even say where it's from. It doesn't even say that the goddamn. Let's move on. So the chief of police is writing the letter to store and shop owners, business owners in Seattle saying, you're on your own. I play Iron Maiden's Run to the Hills, but it's not licensed. For these reasons, Seattle police will have an adjusted deployment in response to any demonstrations this weekend, as I will never ask our officers to risk their personal safety to protect property without the tools to do so in a safe way. Jesus. Owners got a temporary reprieve from a judge who granted a very temporary restraining order against the council's directive late Friday, but it's only a matter of time before Police Chief Carmen Best makes good on her promise to adjust the deployment of her forces and let the rioters have the city. Carmen San Diego. This broad. There are a lot of good female cops, but not the ones we've been talking about lately. These police chiefs are way in over their heads. Probably that by design. Like in New York City, these people have no problem burning down the entire city to, in Philadelphia, to further a communist manifesto of their puppet masters, like George Soros. And we move into a story that dovetails perfectly with that. Philly DA warns federal officers they could be arrested if they storm a Pennsylvania protest. The district attorney in Philly is Larry Krasner. I think Soros put up $1.2, $1.3 million to get this dope elected. This guy is crazy. He's threatened police, sided with criminals. This guy's a real street vagabond, a real gutter snipe. Real sewer rat, this guy, Krasner. He's no relation to Crass Brothers clothes. You remember those commercials in Philly? You don't shop at Crass Brothers, you're all wet. Someone should throw a bucket of water on this guy. The district attorney in Philadelphia. Oh, we got music for this. Oh yeah, little small faces. This guy is just a robot. Krasner's a robot, just like that Kim Gardner out in St. Louis. All these Soros little robots, little tin soldiers. The district attorney in Philadelphia is warning federal officers that they could face arrest if they bring their tactics of abuse of power to his city. District Attorney Larry Krasner, Larry Sewer Rat Krasner, accused President Trump of acting like an authoritarian dictator. Only Larry's allowed to act like an authoritarian dictator in Philadelphia, goddammit. Krasner made comments on an appearance on MSNBC's The Readout Thursday and cautioned him to send federal agents to Philly. Yeah, just let Philly burn, Krasner, like you did during the street riots. See, if we had a functional Department of Justice, Krasner would be in fucking leg shackles, along with all these other crazy communists. But Barr is out to lunch. Literally, he probably is out to lunch. And breakfast and dinner. Krasner says the extra strong-arming isn't needed in Philadelphia. It's true. Krasner does plenty of strong-arming for everybody. While the city of Philadelphia has not received any formal notification that the federal agents will be sent here, we would use all available means to resist such an abuse of power, the district attorney said in a tweet on Monday. Krasner, you actually think the cops are going to arrest federal agents? Are you out of your fucking mind? What do you and Soros have put in your grape nuts? Back off the meth. Philadelphia police are facing backlash themselves, and one member of the city's SWAT team will be dismissed Friday after a video surfaced of officers spraying peaceful demonstrators with pepper spray while the protesters were trapped on Interstate 676 by officers on either side of the highway. Peaceful protesters. Yeah, right. I like how they trapped them on Interstate 676 through the city. I've been trapped on that plenty of times just by traffic. These people were walking around on 676, the major throughway through Center City. It's dangerous enough to drive on 676. And these dopes were walking around. It's like there's no way out. It's very poor planning. Get trapped in there and there's no way out. And they did. Police Commissioner Danielle Outlaw. I would have never seen a law enforcement career coming. Issued a moratorium on the use of tear gas in most situations, including to disperse crowds of nonviolent people in Philadelphia. Well, you know, the Fed should come in and take control, I guess. I mean, I don't know what else to say. You'd hate to to give more police power to the feds, but in these cities where they're being run by communists, like Shanty Mayor Kinney and this crazy Larry, the sewer rat Krasner, Larry Commie Rat Krasner, you'd have no choice, no other choice. They're going to burn these cities to the ground. Not that it matters. I'm not going down to Philadelphia anytime soon again. Somebody said, hey, I was going out for some drinks. Fuck that, man. I was drinking out in the suburbs. Go out anywhere at all. You got to be careful where you go out at now. It's getting crazy, right? Rutgers declares grammar racist. So grammar, English grammar, the English department at the public university declared the proper English grammar is racist. This is what they're doing at Rutgers. Now, looking back on it, I'm glad I tore that campus to shreds when I was there. Created all kind of problems. Writing. I got kicked out of my first college for writing in the newspaper. Almost got kicked out of Rutgers for writing. But wouldn't change anything. These guys have gone complete commie since I left there. The Scarlet Knights. It should be called the Bad Knights. What do we got here? The Kinks, All Day and All Night. Can't go wrong with some Kinks. Rutgers University English Department will change its standards of English instruction in an effort to stand with and respond to the Black Lives Matter movement. In an email written by the department chairwoman, Rebecca Walkowitz, the graduate writing program will emphasize social justice and critical grammar. I had a lot of these professors at Rutgers, they're writing. They don't know how to use critical grammar. Some real cement heads at this place. My buddy Greg Morris, professor at Rutgers, he can attest to that. Now he's at Hunter College. Walkowitz said that, and he's African-American. If he read this, he would say this is nonsense. Walkowitz said the department would respond. Here's the funny thing. Rutgers didn't give two shits about minority professors when I was there. How do I know? I was friends with a guy who took on the college, African-American professor, Greg Morris. They didn't like black professors, okay? Sorry. Break the news to Rutgers, right? Now they're worried about grammar. I'm sure little has changed there. Sure, they can posture about Black Lives Matter. They didn't give a shit about black professor lives at their own university. I know, because we were rolling together. We used to go out drinking almost every damn night at Rutgers. And dinners and everything else. And I was a little bit older when by the time I got to Rutgers because I had to take time off and build money up so I could go to school, pay for my own school. And I was working full-time as a journalist, too, so I wasn't like some gum chewer who waltzed in, 17-year-old idiot, didn't know what was going on, so this college didn't give two shits about black professors. I saw it firsthand. Now all of a sudden they care. And this is my alma mater. I'm on the loose today. We'll send the university a little. I don't need to send something in a bottle. I'm taking their head off right here. Now, Walkowitz said the department would respond to recent events with workshops on social justice and writing, increasing focus on graduate student life, and incorporating critical grammar into our pedagogy. I don't even know what the fuck that means. Rutgers should have done a better job of educating me. I don't know what that word means. The critical grammar approach challenges the standard academic form of the English language in favor of the more inclusive writing experience. The curriculum puts an emphasis on the variability of the English language instead of the accuracy. Sounds like a fancy way to prep your students not to be able to get a job after college. This approach challenges the familiar dogma that writing instruction should limit emphasis on grammar, sentence level issues so as to not put students from multilingual, non-standard academic English backgrounds at a disadvantage, Walkerwood said. Yeah, I think that if you take an English class now in college, even in graduate writing program, you shouldn't have to use any English whatsoever. You should just write in whatever language you're proficient in. If it's Spanish, write in Spanish. If it's another language, use that. This is called English fucking language class, you dingbats. The fuck is the matter with these people? You can't help these people. These people are fucked up at Rutgers. Believe me, I know. The president of Rutgers at one time, Francis Lawrence, threatened to basically mutilate me. Because I was causing so much trouble. He wanted my head on a spit. And I got out of Rutgers. And I started working in North Jersey and kicking a lot of ass and making a lot of noise in the state. And those people, the journalism professors I had, were like, whoa, this guy's fucking scary. The real deal. He's tearing it up. And then I came into work one day in a moment of karma glory, and I got called into a conference room, and they said, there's big trouble at Rutgers. We want you to go down and cover it. You went to Rutgers, right? I said, yeah, we want you to go down Parkway and cover it. Get on the turnpike, blah, blah, blah. Get down to New Brunswick. I was in Hackensack. I said, what's going on? Oh, President Lawrence said some racially insensitive things about African Americans. I said, oh, President Lawrence, we have a history. He basically threatened to harm me if he couldn't throw me out. And they said, that's fine. Go down and get in his face. And I did. I kept going into his office every 20 minutes. Where's he at? Is he coming out? And I staked him out. It was awesome. The guy was a big fucking coward. So the hunter became the hunted. One of the best fun stories from my newspaper career in Jersey. I staked out his house. He was hiding under the bed. He wouldn't come out. I think I staked him out for 3 days down there kicking ass, hanging out with Greg Morris. That was a lot of fun, getting paid to do that. Getting paid to harass someone who had threatened to harm you. There's nothing better than that. Journalistically speaking, in a legal manner. The curriculum puts an emphasis on the variability of English language instead of the accuracy. This approach challenges the familiar dogma and writing instructions should limit emphasis on grammar, sentence level. I said that. Instead, it encourages students to develop a critical awareness of the variety of choices available to them with regard to micro-level issues in order to empower them and equip them to push against biases based on written accents. What the fuck is this nonsense? Are we supposed to go back to like the 1500s, the 1300s, the 1200s, and change everybody's accents and the way they wrote, the dialects they use, different parts of the world? These people are out of their fucking minds. Leonidas Johnson, a speech pathologist and libertarian activist. That's a hell of a combination. It's like saying John Wilson's MRI center and taxidermy. Said the school's change makes the racist assumption that minorities cannot comprehend traditional English. Johnson called the change insulting, patronizing, and in itself extremely racist. I mean, I just laid out. The university has a history of racism, the way it treated professors. The president of the university, I should look it up. He said something completely out of control about African Americans. The president of the university, I think his salary back then was $2 million a year, $3 million a year. Fuck it, I'll look it up. Let's see what he said. So you don't think I'm a crackpot. They ran him out of town on a rail, by the way. We'll talk about racist. Maybe I'll even come across my own byline. Let's see what he said. This was 1995. Man, this brings back memories. Where's this? The Washington Post. A besieged Lawrence struggled to save his job as angry student protesters accused him of racism because of a remark he made last November that appeared to link low test scores of blacks to their genetic hereditary background. What? Oh, man. He said he misspoke and jumbled his words. He didn't say anything to me. He was hiding under his fucking desk when I was looking for him. I'm going to see if I can find my clip of him. That'll be fun. Okay, here it is. What's the date on this? February 1995. So they had me staking out the president. I was down there trying to ferret him out. He had to have armed guards. Okay. He was flanked by armed guards. It got so crazy now. I found my story, my couple stories I worked on with these guys. You talk about who's woke, right? Look at Rutgers history. It's not exactly Cub Scouts. They're worried about grammar. Worry about more than that. Student protest calling for the ouster of Rutgers University President Francis Lawrence escalated Wednesday as the embattled administrator, flanked by armed guards, reiterated that he will not step down and said no further disruptions will be appropriate. Oh, yeah, on campus. They lit that place up, man. This guy, he actually did resign. They forced him to resign, obviously. More than 500 students rallied Wednesday on College Avenue in New Brunswick. They carried a list of demands that included Lawrence's resignation. This guy was a maniac. Needless to say, there's a lot of African-American students and minorities at Rutgers saying that they have bad test scores because they're minorities. What a maniac. So that's just a quick example. Is there more to this story? Or do we hit the bottom of it? I think you get the gist. Wait a minute. Oh, this Leonidas Johnson guy. So the idea of expecting a student to write in grammatically correct sentences is indicative of racial bias is asinine, Johnson told the Washington Free Beacon. It's like these people believe that being non-white is an inherent handicap or learning disability. That's racism. That's racist. It's become very clear to me that those who claim to be anti-racist are often the most racist people in the country. And hit the applause button. I agree with what he said. And it was a fun walk down memory lane. When you get beyond the word salad. And that's just what I know about Rutgers. I'm sure it's worse. But, you know, one of my good friends, African-American professor, Greg Morris, he's still He's still kicking. He's kicking ass. We're both getting up there in years, though. But so I saw firsthand how they handled him. It was a disgrace. And I guess you can understand why when Francis Lawrence was the president back then. Basically threatened to chop my balls off. And the dean of the school as well. I forget that clown's name. So you see, I've been causing problems and ruffling feathers for quite some time now. This isn't new. I've been doing this a long time. So again, hey, good first Monday pain in the morning. We got some more stuff coming. I don't know. We might move the big Wednesday podcast up into Tuesday, depending on what we develop. There's a lot of stuff going on. I might not want to wait till Wednesday, but we'll see. You'll know tomorrow one way or the other. On pain in the morning tomorrow. Thanks again to everybody on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. We don't have millionaire and billionaire benefactors. We just have you helping us out and helping us grow organically. And that's the right way to do it. That's the way you have to do things. You have to do things the real way. You can't make things out of AstroTurf and pump things up with credit cards and buy this and buy that and buy numbers and fans and all that stuff. We don't play that game. We never have. And that's why people might look at our numbers and say, you guys should be a lot bigger. Well, I mean, we get shadow banned and all that stuff too. That's just the way it is. But I no longer bitch about it because it doesn't do any good. And we just journey on. That's the way it is. What does bitching about it do? Not much. So, we'll do it again tomorrow. As I say at the end of every show, take care. God bless.
Bye.